The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along to the latest Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra. It is Wednesday, June 28th, 2023. My name is Dan Wimbush. Thank you very much indeed for taking the time to join us in the second episode of the relaunch of this show. A big thank you to our sponsors, ZCZ Films, and our new sponsors, Foot Coaching, who I will talk about a little bit later after the main bulk of the show, where I will be speaking to a couple of Southampton broadcasters, Martin Sanders and Jacob Tanswell from The Athletic. We'll be talking all things Ruben Selles, who has been appointed as Reading's new head coach, subject to a work visa, so of course it could all fall through. We're not sure that it's 100% there, but look, we are going to proceed as if the boxes will get ticked and Ruben Selles will be the new man in charge of Reading. Now, this show is very much going to be just focused on Ruben Selles. Obviously, lots and lots and lots to talk about around Reading Football Club at the moment. And I can think of no better people to talk about it than the main podcast hosts, the ones who will be taking over from Mark. Of course, Ben and Ross will be taking over from Mark. Their first show is due to be this weekend, so they will be talking all about all of the off-field shenanigans that have been going on at Reading. They'll be talking about the Sell Before We Die campaign that I know lots of people are now supporting and getting their weight behind. The Tarlhurst End, just one of the groups helping behind the scenes on that. So look, if you've got your questions, if you want to share your feelings, please get them into thetarlhurstend@gmail.com. Ross and Ben will be recording again this weekend and they'll appreciate all of your thoughts. So they will dive deep into all of those things. However, this show, this podcast extra, is just going to be focused on our new head coach. So if you're wondering why there's no talk about anything else, that is the reason for it. So without further ado, let's get into our discussion with Martin Sanders and Jacob Tanswell.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at The Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/The Tarlhurst End.
Right, I'm delighted to say I am joined by two esteemed guests today, Martin Sanders, who is Southampton broadcaster, and Jacob Tanswell from The Athletic. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us tonight. The key question, and I'm going to fire it at you first, Jacob, is this a good appointment for Reading?
I think it's a really good appointment. I think Ruben Selles was personally looking at a championship club. There was championship interest in him in January before he took over at Southampton until the end of the season in February. And I think for him, I would have personally expected him to be looking up a little bit higher. But the fact he's gone to Reading, despite all their issues, I think that speaks volumes of the facilities and how big the club is, really.
Martin, I get the sense from your tweet when this news was announced that maybe you're not quite so high on him. You put, good luck, Reading fans, you'll need it. Just explain that for us.
I think he's early starting out in the game in terms of becoming a manager. It's going to be his first real proper manager's job. It was a caretaker role, really, that role with us last season. I think he's still learning on the spot. I think it's a real tough ask for him to go in there. Obviously, your club's going through a lot of transition. You need to be patient. We didn't really have any time. We had no time at Southampton. So, I think from a fan's point of view, I found him really frustrated last season. There's no doubt he's got good credentials, good future ahead of him. But, yeah, I wasn't the greatest fan, to be honest.
Jacob, a lot of the narrative around Selles' time at Southampton was, you know, it was a sinking ship. The damage had already been done. There was no real way he could sort of pull it out of the dive, as it were. Is that completely fair, or should he bear some of the brunt of the criticism and blame for Southampton going down in the end?
Yeah, I think a lot of what he did was, I thought was quite good. I thought a little bit of it was naive because he tried to build a team and build a infrastructure that was long term when Southampton really needed a short term manager that could just put out results. And he was very very nuanced and very detailed in what he tried to do. And I think given how low the confidence was of the team, given how bad the team was in terms of the quality technically, and it was a little bit muddled as well, the recruitment, I think that's probably a mistake. But I think it's quite respectful of him and quite noble of him, really, in a way that despite all the issues and Stanton being bottom of the table, he still tried to build longer term behaviours at the club, and he tried to build a project. And I know a lot of fans will look at his form, but I think the damage had already been done. And I think some of his tactical ideas were good. It probably wasn't the right conditions in order to implement it, really.
Yeah, Martin, I mean, if you look at the results, I mean, obviously, I only picked up two wins, but if you look at some of the results, he gets a draw against Liverpool, draw against Man United, beats Chelsea, very nearly beats the team that can't finish second, Arsenal. I mean, he does pull off some really good results in there. What was the difference between those seemingly great performances and just the ones that ultimately sent Southampton down?
I always found him quite... he always wanted to try and stop the opposition playing. So from my point of view, he'd always try to keep the opposition at bay, so like he did at Chelsea. In his first game, really, it was before he actually took the managerial job properly. It was they sacked Nathan Jones, and then he come in and he took the Chelsea job, and inevitably he got the job off the back of that. The fans chanted his name that day. James Ward-Prowse scored a wonderful free kick at Stamford Bridge that day. But we got quite lucky, but we were... He just tries to stop the opposition. Sometimes he didn't really go for the juggler, really, when he really needed to. There was games in the season, certainly, I think the West Ham away game summed it up, really. We really needed to go for it. And we were struggling with strikers, but there was one guy we brought in, Paul Iheanacho, who was a really tall a striker, just needed to maybe utilise him. He didn't really get a massive chance, Iheanacho. Didn't fit Selez's style of play, really. We changed manager. And we'd already bought a striker for another manager. So it just didn't work. It just didn't work out. But he didn't utilise some of the... For me, as a fan, I found it frustrating because we had some good signings in January and he didn't utilise them. I found it bizarre.
I mean, Jacob, we're just coming off the back of having Paul Ince as our manager. He was very much an old school manager trying to stop. As Martin said, Paul Ince would try and stop teams playing. There'd be a lot of players behind the ball. And inevitably... It'd be a lump up to Andy Carroll up front. I mean, stylistically, what are we getting from Ruben Selez? Do you think he will keep that kind of stop the opposition playing mentality? Or has he shown the ability to, you know, for his team to actually impose themselves on a game?
I think that's really interesting because I think we'll see what his philosophy is. I think one of the reasons why he went to that way of playing, that belief of stopping the opposition, is because that's how Southampton have been built, really. The squad has, because he tried to continue under Ralph Hasenhüttl at all. And I think that was probably playing into the thinking in terms of Southampton to have technical players that have on-ball qualities. And you can talk about the January signings. You can arguably say only Charlie Alcaraz is proven to be any good because Suleiman is hit and miss. Paul Iheanacho, you have to be... play a very specific way for him, and Southampton didn't have the players to do that. So I can understand his thinking, and I think he got hamstrung in a way with recruitment because he had so many players to manage. There was 30 players in a squad, so he couldn't keep them all happy at all. But going to Reading, being able to build in his own image, I think we'll really see how he wants to play. He wants to be high intensity, he wants to play vertically. But one thing that I think gets overlooked at times is that at Southampton, especially early on, he tried to play out from the back a lot of the time. I remember instances at St Mary's where fans would get a little bit nervous. You know, the win against Leicester at home, he would try and play out from the back far more than what Nathan Jones and Ralph Hasenhüttl did. So I think that he kind of got a way of how he wanted to play then. But I think circumstances continue to punish him in the end. And he had to go to a system which didn't always work, but he played players that actually wanted to be there. And all those that didn't play, it's quite telling, they'll likely leave this summer.
Yeah, I mean, Martin, what about his kind of in-game management? Again, one of the criticisms of Paul Ince was that substitutions weren't used at the right time. And again, there never seemed to be a tactical shift to a plan B. Did Salah show some sort of versatility there, or were there any kind of criticisms around his actual in-game management?
He had Jacob would probably back me up on this. He liked to make changes around the sixth, sort of 10 minutes into the second half, he'd make a lot of changes. And they were very, very similar changes. The problem was that he didn't really have the players sort of in the squad to bring in and really influence a game. Like Jacob, back him up on it. He was right. He picked players that wanted to be there, that wanted to play for the club. Theo Walcott being one of those. He'd been ousted for pretty much a season before that. He'd not played under Hasenhüttl. But he brought him in, he was using him off the bench a bit, and he showed that he could offer something. And in the end, he was starting him. But yeah, in-game management, interesting really. I think the standout for me really was Spurs at home. He made some changes and he got us a draw, to be fair, that day. I can't remember the changes that he made, but he made changes that Jacob probably remembered the substitutions better than I did. I was just a fan. It was just like, come on, we need to get something out of this. But yeah, he made some changes that day. I think it was Silamana who came on, who's a pacey winger. And him and I think Charlie Alcaraz come on that day, and they've really, really changed the game for him. So he can do if he's got the players, but it's just having the right players off the bench.
I mean, Jacob, you were in a lot of his media conferences sort of before and after games and obviously followed what he was saying in the media very, very closely indeed. Again, going back to Paul Ince, and I hate making this going to be a Paul Ince podcast, but it's the most point of reference. A lot of Reading fans, again, were turned off Paul Ince towards the end, but, you know, he would never blame himself. It was kind of lots of old cliches and things like that. I mean, what was Ruben like with the media? Did you kind of... Was he engaging? Did you think what he was saying made a lot of sense? Or were you just kind of like, there's something a bit off?
You probably didn't have the same sound bites as you did under Nathan Jones. But what you did have was, I think, a lot more educated responses. I thought he's really good with the media. So before every press conference, he would come in, shake everybody's hand in the room, introduce himself, get to know you on a personal level. I think he was far more warm off record in terms of away from the press conference arena as such. And he gave some good insight in terms of if you asked him a tactical question, he would not bat it away. He would provide good answers and a reasoning behind it. And one thing that was in contrast to Nathan Jones is that if after a defeat, he would refuse to basically blame his players. So perhaps the opposite of Paul Ince as well. He would say, I've made mistakes here. I need to look at this. I need to see what happens. And although perhaps it didn't turn out well in the end, he always was strong in his belief in backing up the players. And I think even when it was falling apart at the end, I never got whispers of the players not liking him or it becoming fraction and unraveling, where with Nathan Jones and Ralph Hasenhüttl towards the end, that was the case. One thing that I think we need to focus on really is that Reading is a fractured club. So I don't think immediately it'll be about the tactical plans at all. It'll be a hot set of his strengths and galvanising the team. And what he did really well in the first couple of weeks at Southampton is he managed to galvanise a group of players and staff who were disillusioned for a lot of time. And for a few weeks until results went awry after the international break, he managed to make them believe. And I think that's something that's going to be so, so crucial to Reading, especially early on in the season with everything and all the commotion around it.
I mean, Martin, we talk about, and I know you've kind of mentioned about the nice guy act. Could that potentially be one of his weaknesses? Is there a danger that maybe he was a bit too friendly and maybe actually they needed maybe the riot act once or twice?
He did speak well in the press. But, you know, I'd say that he spoke really, really well in the press. But yeah, he's a nice guy. He's obviously come from that coaching role. So he came in, last summer, the board of Southampton, they sacked all the backroom staff or two or three of Ralph Hasenhüttl's main staff members, and they had a bit of a jig around. And Ruben was brought in as a defensive coach, really. He is to try and shore up the defence, and he took a lot of the training sessions because I believe that Hasenhüttl would take a little bit of a backseat and he would take the training sessions. So I guess he got quite close to the players and he got quite respect quite quickly from the players. A lot, you know, Carl Walker-Peters came out and spoke very, very highly of him early on in an interview. And the players did like him, and I think that a lot of them referred to him as Ruben in a lot of the press conferences that he took, much of the fans discussed, you know, talk about the gaffer or the manager. He was always spoke of as Ruben. But he seems a nice guy. Like, from the outside looking in, I think he'd been maybe a little bit too close to the players, a lot of the fans felt at the time. But yeah, it's a real mixed bag with the fan base. Some fans really didn't like him, and then there's others like, yeah, you know, he's just, there was so much damage done before he came in, but I still believe we had time to turn it around when he came in. I just think he just probably wasn't the right man at the right time. We needed some Premier League experience, really, but the Premier League is so tough, isn't it?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, Lord knows what he's going to make of League One football in a few weeks' time if this appointment all goes through as planned. I mean, Jacob, I know we've got to say goodbye to you very shortly, but just finally, before we let you go, do you think this is going to work out? If you had £10 to go into, whichever bookies is your particular fancy, and you had to put money on whether Selez will be at Reading by the end of this season as a starting point, do you think that will be the case?
I hope he will be. But I think if he does leave, despite his perceived flaws, I think it'll probably be because of Reading rather than Ruben Selez. I think he'll do as well as he can. I think he's a good manager, especially for League One. I think for me, he's probably a mid-table championship right now, and he's only in his early formative stages of his managerial career. But I do think with everything that's going on at Reading, everything in terms of the uncertainty, for a manager like him, he probably needs a solid foundation. So I was a little bit surprised that he even was interested in the job. And I do think it'll be really rocky for him. But if anyone can turn it around, I really, really hope that he does. I think he's a really good guy. I think he's going to be a good coach. I can see why they gave him the job. I can see why people didn't want him to have the job at Southampton. But I wish him all the best, and hopefully I'll be able to come down and speak to him and come to a few games, because I'm really, really interested to see what he does. And I'm really hoping that Reading push back up into the Championship and be a stable team.
Well, we've got a pre-season friendly at the Select Car Leasing Stadium in about a month's time. So hopefully you'll get a chance to reunite then. Although, given the way our summer is progressing, I'm not even taking anything for granted at this stage. But Jacob, thank you very much indeed for your time. Just very quickly, where could people follow you, your work, and on social media?
Yeah, thank you. I'm the Slamson writer for The Athletic, so I'll be on there and also on Twitter, which is J_Townswell. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you very much.
He's a brilliant follow, by the way. Brilliant follow.
Guys.
There you go. That five is in the post.
Cheers, tenner.
Right, we're going to continue on with Martin. I mean, we're just picking up on what Jacob kind of said there again. I mean, what are your feelings on how this is going to work out for Reading? Do you think that he could be a project manager? You know, we've seen the likes of, I mean, Nigel Adkins, for example, at Southampton leading you up a couple of times. We've seen it work at Norwich as well with a Paul Lambert. Do you get the sense that this could be that kind of appointment for Reading?
I'm not convinced at all. I've got a best friend, and he absolutely hated Sellers. He found he was stubborn, and he was stubborn. He had one way of playing, and sometimes, like, we always felt as in our fan base, certainly sort of the people that I'm close to that are knowledgeable about football, we all felt that he was trying to protect maybe himself and like his future job, because we always felt that he wanted to go into management, but he wanted to play a certain style of football, a Pep Guardiola style football, play out from the back, an Arteta style of football. We just weren't the place to do that. And I'm not sure the style of football that he wanted to play in League One, he'd necessarily get away with it, because he wants to play a passing-based football. He wanted to play out from the back. He want players that are comfortable on the ball. He was very lucky because he had two very, very good midfielders at our place in Romeo Lavia and James Ward-Prowse. And he had pacey wingers in Silamana. He had the likes of Moussa Gineppo, who he didn't really use, but he had, you know, some very good, quick, fast players. But he didn't kind of like find it. I never thought he found a real way of, you know, sort of going at teams and really creating chances. And I think in that league, you've got to get results, haven't you? And you can't be playing pretty build-up football in League One.
I mean, given the time we're recording this on Wednesday, the 28th of June, I think Reading have about 8 players. And I don't think we have any central midfielders beyond academy level. So it'll be interesting to see he can work with. I mean, obviously, it was only a very short period of time, maybe slightly longer, though, given that he was on the coaching staff. I mean, did you actually see progression in any players, kind of skill-wise? Were there any players that you'd looked from August and then you looked at them in that last game against Liverpool and thought, you know what, they have actually taken a step forward. This guy might have actually done a decent job on the training ground.
I think probably there's only one standout that maybe improved for me, but he's an international anyway, in Benderek. He come back. He was out on loan. He went out on loan last summer to Aston Villa. He come back for Nathan Jones, and they got the best out of him, to be fair, sort of back end of the season. He was a key part of the defence, but I wouldn't say massively improved anybody. He likes to work with young players, because you're going to bring academy players through. He likes to work with academy players. I think if he'd had a longer period of time at Southampton, he would have worked with the academy players. I think he did a lot of work with some of the good prospects in young Don Ballard, who's coming through our academy, who's going to be a real, really good striker. So I think he does like to work with younger players and develop players. If you look back, he's been at a lot of clubs. He's not scared of moving to try and get his next progression. So he does jump around clubs, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, fingers crossed he can sort of be the man for Reading. I mean, before we let you go as well, we've had the news today linking Reading with another Southampton connection, Theo Walcott, reportedly training with Reading at the moment. It's a move that's been rumoured a couple of times in the past. I mean, you talked about Theo coming back into the fold at Southampton. Do you think he's got something left in the tank, especially maybe at League One level?
I've got to be honest, when we let him go, I thought he might have been somebody to keep hold of. You know, he might not have started every week, but I think he's still a Championship player, in my opinion. He was fantastic. From about December onwards, he was superb. He's a really good leader, a very, very good leader. But look, he's lost his pace, but he scored a really good goal at Arsenal. And again, down at Brighton. I think he's got a bit about him, Theo. He's got experience. And I tell you the one thing he is, he's a real clubman. So in terms of like the kids, people, he will always give time to every single child. Like I've been at games and we've gone out. I've got two young daughters who love football. And I was there at the railings and they all were at the autographs and selfies. And he did a selfie with every single kid. And he did not leave the area until he'd seen every kid. And I've seen open training sessions and him do the same. He's an unbelievable professional, but he's a really, really nice human being with it. If you get him at your football club, that will be an absolute steal, mate. If you get him in, he'd be fantastic. I think he'd score goals. I think he'd create chances. He's still got a bit about him. He's got a real good football brain, you know. He's got a bit of life in him yet, as Theo Walcott.
Well, again, I think, you know, he grew up in around the area. I think he was in West Berkshire over in Compton. I think he grew up and I think his cousin even played for the club. So, look, there are some connections there if that one does happen. But, look, Martin, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, you know, having you on the show. Thank you so much for your time. Where can people follow you?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. So I'm at @footballmartin_. That's where I usually hang out and talk football. There's so much going on in the transfer market at the moment. It's good to keep up to date. There's just keeping up to date is the hardest thing at the moment. There's not enough hours in the day.
Oh, absolutely. And one very final question is, I can let you go, of course, but talking about your own team very, very quickly. Relegated to the Championship, chances of bouncing back. How do you fancy it?
I think it's really difficult. I've done several sort of like podcasts and done some bits with Sky the other day and kind of go back to what I've said. I think it's all down to what players they can keep hold of and how they do recruitment. Last summer, we spent 100 million on players and it was poorly, poorly spent. They bought too many young players in. But I think in the Championship, like in League One for you guys, you need experienced heads. You need people that know the division. You need leaders and we need leaders. And that's the most important thing. We're resigned to losing our best players. James Ward-Prowse will definitely leave the football club. Carl Walker-Peters will leave the football club. Tino Livramento is a fantastic up-and-coming player. He's linked with Newcastle. And, Rami Lava, I spoke about earlier, I think he'd be off. So it's going to be tough because you're going to lose our best players, but we need to recruit well. They brought an interesting manager in Russell Martin. Very, very mixed down here on Russell Martin. I'm quite excited by him because I like the brand of football he plays. But, like, he won't get time. You know, in football, you don't get time, do you? And he have to hit the ground running quickly and get results at the football club because our fan base is pretty fickle, like anywhere. And they will turn on him quickly if he can't get results. I just hope that we can start well. But I think it'd be really difficult for us. I think we'll be thereabouts. I'm not sure we'll get automatic promotion, if I'm totally honest, Dan.
Well, look, best of luck. I mean, let's hope that we're both celebrating come the end of the season the same way we were in 2012, which feels like an absolute lifetime ago, even though I've got the signed shirt behind me. I will always remember that night at St. Mary's. I'll end it on that cheeky note. Martin, thank you very much indeed for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on. Best of luck for the season.
Thank you, Dan.
I mean, look, hopefully speaking again in a few years' time, talking about, you know, about Premier League football, but one step at a time.
Thank you, Dan.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
So a big thank you once again to Jacob and to Martin for giving us their time to talk all things Ruben Selez. Lots more content on our managerial appointment up on thetarlhurstend.com, including a fantastic piece by the editor-in-chief, the big boss man himself, Bucks Royal, who's collated lots of different views and opinions of Selez and lots of statistical data as well. So go and check that up on thetarlhurstend.com. As mentioned, the main episode of this show, the main Tarlhurst End podcast, will be debuting with Ross and Ben as your permanent hosts. That will be coming out this weekend. And again, they'll be getting into all of the situation around the club involving the ownership and rounding possible winding up petitions and lots more to come as well. So again, get those thoughts coming in to thetarlhurstend@gmail.com. But also, I'd like to thank, as I said, our brand new sponsors, footcoaching.com. Now, if you don't know who Foot Coaching are, they help coach you in FIFA. Foot standing for FIFA Ultimate Team. So look, if you're tired of boomeranging your controller while playing FIFA, check out footcoaching.com. With professional tools as used by real-life football clubs and trained performance coaches in esports all around the world, the team at footcoaching.com can help improve your FIFA game. From beating your friends on a Friday night to winning your local tournament, or even helping your esports team perform better, check out footcoaching.com. You can use the code TTE to get 10% off. So look, if you're tired of getting beaten on FIFA, if you want to get better at the game, same way you'd go to a golf coach, same way you'd, you know, enlist your help, you know, for your friends and training on anything. This is professional tools. This is something that a lot of people care passionately about. And if you're interested, footcoaching.com is the place to go for that. So thank you to our new sponsor, as well as our existing sponsor, of course, ZCZ Films. So without further ado, I'm going to depart now. Thank you once again for the fantastic support. It was a great feedback we had to the return of the podcast, Jack. So thank you for all of your kind words. If you'd like to follow me, you can follow me on Twitter at Wimby for my Reading musings. And if you are interested in FIFA and FIFA Ultimate Team, I've started a new Twitter account there, Wimby86 as well. I do stream on Twitch as well occasionally. So if you know, if you want to see my face for radio, you can do so over there. But look, I'll just end by saying it's a very troubling and worrying time for Reading Football Club. I know there is lots of anxiety out there. There's a mix of emotions. There is anger, there is fear, there's every emotion under the sun. And look, all I can say is, you know, I really hope that our football club can pull together. The one thing I do know is that we've got a fantastic fan base that care passionately about the club, and I really hope that you know, all those people, and myself included, I think we deserve a football club that is being run in the right way and is onwards and upwards, and whatever regime that is under, I just hope that that happens soon. So look, again, Ross and Ben are going to get into all of those things on the weekend show, so stay tuned to the podcast feed for that. Until then, I'm just going to say goodbye.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.